Hello, Mech Warriors, and welcome to the Mech Bay, where we fix your mech and fix your game. Hello, Mech Warriors, and welcome to the Mech Bay podcast, your number one source for all things casual to competitive Battletech. And I'm your host, Josh, and I've got my co-host, Dustin and Denim, in the hot seats tonight. What's going on, gentlemen?
Howdy, howdy. I'm back.
I've transferred on the dropship so many times, I don't know where I am.
Seriously, like the last, month has been filled with, multiple major family emergencies, multiple sicknesses, multiple vacations. It's honestly like, can I just stop and like curl up in my bed now?
I was in space.
Some of us had more fun than the other ones, but you know what? We're all here now.
That's right.
I'm actually sad because I'm here.
Here is not as cool as space.
Huh? Here is not as cool as where I was. That is 100% true.
Denim got to experience pure level.
That's right. That's right. Oh, man, it life changing. Yep.
But we're back to Battletech, back to the old grind, as I like to put Battletech.
Yep. And I will be honest, for once in my life, I have gone over a week without even thinking about Battletech. And that was super weird. Super weird.
You were thinking about much worse things.
Oh, man. But I'm back now, and it's Battletech time. So, yeah.
So what did we miss? We missed some news while we were gone. Apparently, the rest of the people that couldn't go to Adepticon got the rest of their Adepticon swag. So they got their proliferation packs. So they finally got their Mackies and Firebees and Battle Axes and stuff like that.
I do like the proliferation pack. I like it.
I like it as a concept. Like, it warms my heart.
I want to see updates to the... I know Battletech is fully capable of being like, oh, there's a manufacturer, and they've just they released a new model of the first mech designed. And then I would be able to put it on the table a little easier, I guess. I'm not playing any historical Battletech games.
I completely agree, because I did the, whole, like, okay, let me try the primitive ones, and I'm like, this is fun for a game or two, and after that, I was like, I would like something that performs in line with the rest of the...
What? You want a, you want a secret Ill Clan Rec Guide number 33 that has the proliferation pack updated to 3150s?
Probably. So I'm actually surprised when they released the sheets, they gave... Some of them, there was the primitive version. The other ones were like a standard version. Mm. And I think the Gladiator and the Battle Axe, because they have like record sheet 3075.
Yeah, the Gladiator. Yeah.
They have like, oh, this one has a C3 slave and, you know, MMLs. And I'm like, in double heat sinks. So
it's
like,
just welded onto the left shoulder.
And I'm like, cool. Yeah. Can I get that for the rest of them? And it's like, no.
I tell you, I forget, and it's bad because I even read the Proliferation Cycle novel, but I can't remember which is the Free Worlds League first mech. But
Icarus 2.
The buying it amongst a set of friends, and then I would like the Free Worlds League one, just that one, buy it off of whoever, and paint it up for, you know, because Free Worlds League is my, like, Inner Sphere Totem faction.
That's all whatever, you do. So. You don't want the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly. I just want the one. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a weird pack where there are people like probably me and Denim who want all of them just because they're all unique and cool, and it's kind of experimentalish, so it speaks to me.
Even if they're not good, I want them because they're unique. That's why.
They are at that.
But yeah, the rest of them, it's like, yeah, I could have one of these for like if I'm playing a super intro tech game and that's it. But
Yeah,
it's a take it or leave it box. I like it, but some people don't, and that's fine.
Speaking of unique, one of the other force packs is out. The Snords Irregulars.
One's okay, I guess.
The Frankenmech is pretty darn unique. And I like that they come with parts to build two different variants of it.
That was one that I never appealed to me. Just
Conceptually,
it's too unique. It's too unique.
It's like the unique. It's so conceptually awesome where, you know, we needed a mech that worked, so we just took all of the salvage and we bolted it together, and the tech genius over there made it work, and it goes out there on the battlefield and kicks butt. I love it. And it's another one of those 80 cartoon tropes, But that's Gundam where I grew style. Up. I mean, I grew up in the 80s watching those cartoons, so it speaks to me on a visceral level.
I spiritually identify with this battle mech.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it hurts my head when I look at the Franken mech. I'm like, oh, there's the bits. I mean, it's literally what it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is not symmetrical at all.
Yeah. Snord, Rhonda Snord's kind of missed me because I was, you know, MechWarrior 2, Ghost Bear's Legacy, and then MechWarrior 4, and I just... this one missed the boat for me completely. That is the Snord's outfit in general. So it doesn't speak to me too much. I do like the
Spartan.
No, does it have any jumping mechs?
Yeah.
I don't think it does. Yeah. I got my first jumping mech, not from the Snord's Irregular pack, but some other pack. That's a problem. That's a first world problem. I can't remember what I've been buying. But yeah, I got a jumping Thunderbolt, and I did not like the jumping mech sculpts until I held one in my hand. So I'm a believer now.
Cool. Good, good.
But yeah. Yep. We got the Grey Death Legion box with the Regent. That's Anthony Scroggins' special. I think he conceptualized and birthed that one. From top to bottom.
It's his baby. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Yes. We have a plastic K2 catapult in there. Jumping Shadowhawk and the Gargoyle, specifically, I think the C variant, the UAC 20 and 6 medium, medium.
There's nothing that I don't like about this box set. I mean, even the fact it's Grey Death, because that's one of my favorite Merc units. So I am thrilled about everything except for the fact that none of the local stores have one in stock. I have to order one online, and I don't feel like doing that yet. So I'm waiting.
Local stores meaning anything, Barnes & Noble?
Barnes & Noble within 100 miles of me. Nobody has one.
Yeah, that's a Barnes & Noble exclusive.
Yep.
It feels weird that the Gargoyle is like, I don't want to say the trashiest out of the four, but it's like, I know who I'm taking home for the date, you know, and it's not the Gargoyle.
Aw.
I'll let the Gargoyle watch through the window.
completely derailed. Like, yeah, what's the tracks.
Yeah. So specifically, this is great, great grandbaby Grayson Carlisle's. I forget which Carlisle it is. And I've read like two of the novels.
Is it Alex? I've been
reading too
much
Battletech. And he has a sister. It's the two of them. They're brother sister combo. These days, but anyways, yeah, he's in the Gargoyle, an ex-clanner is in the Regent, but we don't need to go to Lore Town. All right, what else do we got news wise
he's just so happy to get away from that.
Yeah.
We have so the Aww. Rifle Boy, which was also at Adepticon.
Rifle Boy.
That's canon.
I
want to
see one.
It's canon.
It's canon?
Yeah, you know, they are calling it Rifle Boy, not us.
Oh, it's official. Oh, yeah. Awesome.
CGL is calling it the Rifle Boy. Yes.
Did they make like a 40-ton rifle, man?
No, it's a 50-ton rifle. It's what, the N1, N2? What's the 50-ton?
The primitive rifle man is technically lighter, but it's still too small.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but so, I'm keeping mine. I'm not sending it back or getting a refund. I'm keeping it, and it will be my primitive rifleman, the 50-tonner.
You know, in 100 years, you listen here, you heard it here first. In 100 years, when all your battle mechs are worth like 40 cents, this one, the Rifle Boy, will be rarer, and it will be worth like maybe $3. So
nice.
Hold on to it.
But... So, Denim, you're not getting a refund, but you can email them to say, I would like to have my rifle man when they fix the premium miniature for that.
True.
So
true.
You bought the Rifle Boy, and now you're not going to have to send him away. You just have to wait for the rifle man.
I'm patient. I can wait for that.
Okay. But yeah, so we can either get refunds, which of course will be Catalyst Store, you know, money, or a completed miniature when they fix it.
Yeah.
And considering they haven't done anything since that, I'm guessing who knows when.
Yeah. No, I'll do that. I won't get a refund, but I will get a replacement as long as I get to keep my 50 tonner.
I don't think they require video proof of you taking a hammer to it. All right. We got the Target exclusive Battletech Essentials Solaris box. So that came out, and there was a whole fiasco about the coupon on the inside.
Right. That's fixed now. Yeah, oh, yeah. Because it's supposed to be a $20 coupon. And it was for a lot of people, it was doing 20% instead of $20. And they have since fixed that. That was a.
I mean, if you buy $100 worth of product,
right,
it's $20.
I love Dustin's math here. Like, I just need him like in charge of marketing.
Doesn't lie.
But yeah, no, that always felt weird. And I'm going to go with their intention was 20%, and just whoever was in charge of printing that wrote $20.
I think it's the other way around. I think
no, because it's a $25 box. And they're really going to put a $20 coupon on the inside?
That's a good point. Okay. That's a good point.
Nobody's that dumb.
But you can only use one per account, so. Yeah,
says the man who tried for multiple accounts.
Well, I did buy three boxes.
It might be, because when you get into mass market corporate stuff, the numbers start to get really weird. And maybe from Catalyst's, you know, perspective, the $20 still made sense. I don't know what, you know, what kind of money.
I think it was a legal one. I think this one was pure legal, and I'm going off of only conjecture. I've talked to no people about this.
Yeah, but all of us.
Like, Target probably got their cut, which is a good portion of Catalyst cut. And, you know, the box is there, and it gets people into BattleTech. So they want, you know, the coupon in there is like, here's 20% off, because you'll get to Catalyst site, not $20. Now, will say there's not a whole lot of $20 things on the Catalyst website. So you're spending a lot more normally.
Even if it's 20% or $20, even for $20, you know, from Catalyst perspective, they might be, you know, if some random person walks through Target and they're like, oh, cool, look at this box. This is a board game with robots on it. You know, and then they open it and they say, here's the 20% coupon or the $20 coupon. Either way, that might be their door into the rest of the awful, awful hard science rabbit hole that we're deep down inside of.
Right. Because Target doesn't sell any of, like, Barnes & Noble has other BattleTech stuff. Target does not. So, you know,
they need to scoop them in.
Yeah. This is the, oh, but there's other stuff. So come see what we have. And here's $20 to get you started.
And then the return on investment, I'm guessing, obviously, would be better, you know.
It's good to get younger people into the board game. That's the only way it can survive, is if you get younger people now into it.
Get the new blood.
Yep. I do like how the map that comes in it is the Steiner Stadium, which is the Steiner Coliseum's little brother. So it is a smaller map. It doesn't have the pillars, but it still has the walls. And it's completely indoors, so you can't like jump over the walls because they go from floor to ceiling. But it is a different arena that just looks very similar, because it's, you know, Steiner Stadium versus Steiner Coliseum.
And I've been to Target recently, and I found none of these at the Target. So
my Target got 8 of them in and sold out like that weekend. And I just went back yesterday, and they had 14 more on the shelf.
Wow! Why did they sell out? Yeah. I mean, who bought them all?
Who's responsible for that?
I only bought 3 of them, but I saw other people buying them while I was there.
No kidding.
Yeah,
you and the other did they crack have their addicts.
Did they have their Clan Wolf pin on their like shirt? Like,
hey. No, they've been selling pretty well around here.
All right. Do we have any other news, or is that about it?
I think that's the big news.
Yeah. Pretty healthy news segment. There's been some news.
I guess technically the Urban Mech Lance pack came out.
There's a box that comes with 4 different kinds of trash cans. Get it if you want it.
Oh, I did. Because I do. They've got some good ones. I mean, some fun ones. Not good ones. None of them are good, but they're fun. I mean, there's the one that goes 2-2-3 because it has hardened armor and improved jump jets on an urban mech. Like, why? But hey, fun.
Oh, and Shrapnel 13 came out.
Nice. I love the shrapnels.
Nice.
And that's about it. All right, let's move on to hobby progress. So we've all been having way too many, you know, things going on in our personal lives. Has anyone here, show of hands on this audio only format, has anyone painted anything?
Oh yeah, I have actually painted something. It just isn't BattleTech related at all.
You put your hand down, sir.
No, no, I did hobby stuff, because I went to the Galactic Star Cruiser, so I had to craft my outfit because I'm not going there, not in full costume. I totally kitbashed my phone to make it look like a Star Wars data pad. I went all out and I spent some time making this thing look good. You can DM me for pictures, but I'm not gonna flood the Discord with them because some people just aren't Star Wars fans, so it'd be a waste.
Those are the good people. Dustin, what have you gotten done?
I've done lots of assembling and priming and preparing some Southern Assault 3 stuff. I got a battalion of Merrick stuff together, so a couple of things primed and assembled for that battalion. And I painted a Locust Heavy Destroyer for 40K. So
ooh.
I mean,
Locust is a Battletech name, so it counts.
It is. I don't think I've painted any battle mechs. But yeah, we're getting there. How about you, Josh? You paint anything?
I'm not painting anything. I assembled everything, though.
Nice. Oh, nice.
All the things.
I assembled, like, what, 16 things? Too many things.
It was a lot of things.
It was a lot of things. Y'all watched. It was painful. For my mental health, I decided to assemble one metal model every evening. And by the end of day 4, I had gone insane and was yelling at people. Like, this is not stress relieving at all.
Stress inducing
indeed. I was about to look on my desk to see what I painted, but I took them up all upstairs to the priming bucket, essentially.
The bulk of my hobby time was spent on that Vulture Mark IV, I think. I didn't like the little open bay doors, so I like trimmed all the little SRM hatches off and put little flat strips on them so it'd be like closed.
Yeah.
So it's just closed. That's, I did spend some time on that one, but yeah, that was it.
I did mean to prime my Yen Luang for like make them nice and white to start the red work on it. But today was busy. So maybe I'll get them primed tomorrow. That's my goal.
Nice.
Just something small to get me back into Battletech.
I will say, out of all the metal models I assembled, I recommend no one to assemble lambs ever. And then decide, I'm going to do some customizations to this so it looks cooler. No, stop. Reconsider this. Do not.
Think about your life. Think about which, your the life. Way you've been living it.
Was that the worst one? I think the Word of Blake lamb was probably the worst thing I assembled.
That sounds awful.
It was extremely awful, my friend. Oh, the next worst one was the Scylla.
Yep.
Clan Viper mech with two LRM-20s. And P.S., every finger was its own piece. And I'm like, why? Who designed this and decided, let's every finger be...
But all the cool like poses that you can do with that.
No, they only go one direction.
Well, that's a different story.
It's not like, you know, it's more like... rings around a circle. Yeah. Like it's missile pod with fingers around
right.
it. And it's not like you can like fold them in or out. It's like, no, they fit one direction and they point one direction. And yeah. I was like, this did not need to exist.
it's just for casting. They had to do it.
So yeah. So that's when I lost, you know, all my mental health there. And
did you pin them? Did you pin all the fingers?
I don't know how to pin. I don't know how to pin.
Like they're fingers. They are pins.
Yeah, no, that was awful. That was completely awful. I'm trying to think of anything else. I did pick up my friend's Capellans that he gave me, so now I've got to build a Capellan force, and you two have only heard too much about Josh trying to decide how to paint Capellans that aren't white.
Oh, I promise. There are white paint jobs for the Capellans, so you're going to be right at home. And the other color is green.
Green and white. There's a yellowish one, I think. Is that House Hiritsu? Or is Hiritsu the green one?
No, I think that is the yellow one.
I feel like they're all green.
I'm probably butchering that pronunciation too, but...
the warrior house is nice.
Well, now I want to buy, like, you know, a good Capellan mech, and I was struggling to find good Capellan mechs that fit my playstyle, and I know there's, like, I'm going to get so much DMs and, you know, etmes and fan mails, and I'm like, no.
Send your hate mail.
Yeah, you can send your hate mail. I'll ignore it. All right. But speaking of, let's do some games played. Dustin, me and you got a game in.
We did.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, and I got to roll out my, you know, completely unprimed, still like fresh metal Capellans against your almost all the way done Lyrans.
Almost. Yeah. I had a, was it a crossbow? I think it was a crossbow that wasn't quite done.
Yeah.
Is this classic or Alpha Strike?
Classic.
Nice.
Played some classic. I ran a Bushwhacker, the Bushwhacker's buddy, the Gauntlet, and a Battlemaster. I think it was a Battlemaster.
It was a Battlemaster.
And the crossbow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I ran a Lu Wei Bang, which is really just a Capellan flavored Victor.
Yep.
A Anubis. I'm still trying to figure out what Anubis like is besides small, feisty LRM mech. What else did I bring? I brought a Huron Warrior with a Gauss rifle and PPC. Mm-hmm. And the last one was the Menshin O. And yeah, how did that game go, Dustin? You were...
not very well. I brought a... I think I just brought a really brawly list. And then we played a meeting engagement game. And I just sent everything. I sent a Death Star down the table. And I steamrolled. Is that an appropriate word to use for the Huron Warrior? I think it lasted two turns.
It lasted two turns. It was pretty good. I mean, that Gauss rifle explosion really kind of cut its wind short.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So got the crit on the Gauss rifle. It blew up. And then I think the two things that sealed the deal was the Lu Wei Bing, you lit off the light PPCs and cooked it a little bit, and then he failed his shutdown roll, right?
Yeah, because you had hit me with plasma, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, and I did roll 6 on both of my plasma shots that game. I do remember that.
Yeah.
So that was dirty.
So I jumped into woods to like cool down. I was like, well, I have really good shots at you right now.
And yeah.
You're low number, so I'm going to take it. And well, on a 4-up shutdown roll, guess who can only roll 2s and 3s?
Yeah, it was rough.
But I will say the Lu Wei Bang did great. Like, oh, he did. You had an open side, so I, you know, went canister on that LB-20. And I rolled, like, what, 3 tacks? Not even hitting the open torso. Right. I just hit the armor and just tacked it.
You tacked a lot of stuff. And I think you got a couple of things, but nothing, no ammo bins cooked off or anything super bad like that.
I got a supercharger and engine crits. And I was like, come on, guys.
Come on.
I got one gyro, but it was on a crossbow. And
yeah. I think the crossbow did spend the next two turns rolling around in the dirt firing as mechs do.
Yeah. And so that was two of my mechs. The Menshin, completely fresh.
100% fresh.
ran my mask 2 turns in a row. Guess what? I need a 5-up. Guess what? Josh rolls.
4. Nice.
Guess nice. What? That's 2 automatic, you know, leg crits.
Oh, yeah.
So I break a foot and a leg, I think
The Menshin went full life alert. Just falling, can't get up. It was bad. Fresh Menshin, just boom, blow out the hip, blow out the... I mean, I don't remember what you critted, but it was nasty.
I was like, he ain't giving up again. I needed like...
What? And it's like the rubber bands in his legs broke and they just fly out in weird directions and he falls to the ground. Yeah.
I mean, it was bad. So by then, I only had the Anubis really left and he got killed with the Bushwhacker Gauntlet combo.
I brought 2 really brawly Bushwhackers. No, that's not true. I brought the Wreck Guide Bushwhacker, is kind of a bracket build with the mask. He's good. Mm-hmm. But the Gauntlet I brought is the one with like 10 medium lasers and mask. So he just would run in and light everything off, almost like an Inner Sphere Blackhawk, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
And overheat and take a turn to chill and then mask off to the next spot. And the Battlemaster was pretty typical build. I think a Lerm 20... like a PPC and token other stuff.
I don't think it ever really did much.
He didn't contribute much.
Yeah.
Yeah. The crossbow and the gauntlet and the Bushwhacker.
We both had 2 units that did nothing in that game.
Yes. Yeah.
We call those support mechs.
And the Battlemaster, if memory serves, was the cheapest mech on the crew. 1400 nice. Battle value. Yeah. So he was just meat. He was a brick. And he ended up, I didn't really need a brick so much for that, you know, that game. So he didn't do much.
No, the two bricks cruise missile across the table. Those did enough work.
Yes.
No need to do the brick and Nana's purse.
Yeah. Yeah, we went hammer and anvil, but the hammer just flew off. The anvil's like, wait, guys.
Only anvil.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was my game against you. Mm-hmm. You got a game in.
I played another local. I playtested a new mission. I'm playtesting next year's missions because it takes about a year to write missions. and I was trying to, especially after our hidden units episode, I'm trying to roll in some hidden units rules. So I was pretty happy with the playtest. My opponent said he liked the mission, some tweaking to do, of course. Namely, I'm going to have to write out specifically or explicitly that, unlike the rules, you could hide a unit in a clear terrain because that would change the game big time.
Many people think that you can already do that, and that's, I mean, that you do what you want to do for your mission.
I'm just like, don't reinforce.
But yeah,
that.
Exactly. You're reinforcing, an incorrect concept.
Hey, Blake's advocate, if it's written down and spelled out that you're not allowed to do this, even though that you're allowed to do it, even though the rules say you can't, maybe people will pause and be like, oh.
No, what they remember is, I was at this tournament and they were doing it, so it's got to be fine. That's what they remember.
All right. Right. Well, hey, that's what playtesting's for. Maybe right. Next time I'll run it where you can only hide your hidden units, where they usually are allowed to be hidden, and I'll see how that goes. But yeah, I played that.
I will be happy to play some of these playtests with you, by the way.
Great. Yeah, with a playtest mission, it's like you can almost tell if you're going to be able to hammer it out into something good almost immediately. And then if you have a dud, you're just like, oh, do I work on this more? So this one's like, okay, this is a keeper. I can work on this one. And forge it into something that won't make people angry when they come to my tournament. I mean, somebody's going to be angry. There's always somebody angry with your missions, but yeah, that was me. Those two games with a lot of wargaming for me lately. It's been great.
Nice.
How about you?
I mean, I had the campaigns on Saturday. That was to come back from vacation to go straight to that was probably a little bit. I could have done better. I could have pushed it back a week. I don't know. There are things that I could have done, but it was the biggest turnout. We had 46 people show up. We ran 8 full tables that day. It was it's popular. Yeah, it's super popular. So I played 3 games there because I ran 3 different tables, and then I slept until like 3 o'clock the next afternoon.
Yeah, you didn't jump back into the trenches. You just jumped on the grenade.
Yeah,
right from the vacation to grenade. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I'm sure everybody appreciates it.
I don't remember much about that day, but. But I know people were there. So many people were there.
Who was there, Didum?
Oh, Josh was there. I do remember that.
Why do you remember that, Didum?
I always remember when you're there because you're not always there. I was about to say, and you're so vocal when you are.
Yeah, no, I played in the campaign as well, and that was a terrible, terrible day for me.
I was happy to say that the vast majority of players enjoyed it a whole lot.
Josh's miserableness is an outlier, folks, is what Denim is trying to say. Alrighty. All right. Okay, that's enough for games played. We've got upcoming events. We've got a little bit of a lull until we've got the Summer Bash in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania on the 29th, and then 6 Feet Under Alpha Strike Tournament in Gap, Pennsylvania. So if you're in the Eastern North, I was about to say Pacific Northwest, but that's not Pacific Northwest. That's the Pennsylvania Northeast.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a good year for Battletech, so go on out to those guys. And, of course, we've got your tournament next month, Dustin.
coming up, August 26th. I got a couple of slots left.
Very few couple. Like very if, you, few if couple. You're interested in it, you should sign up sooner than later.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a blast.
All right. And we've got a little bit of fan mail to tie us over. We've got Drayton Jones writing, "Hey guys, I love the podcast. Not really a longtime listener, but whatever. But need some advice. I'm unable to afford expensive paints like the Citadel or Vallejo ones, let alone a set of them. I usually just use some acrylic paints I got from Michaels, but I constantly see models that have shading in small crevices and just higher detail. Any way to do this with just basic acrylics? If I would need to buy something for it, what should I get? Thanks, guys. Dre."
I know my advice. If you are using acrylic paints from Michaels, what you need to do is thin them. They are too thick. That's what's going to be cutting down on your details. If you thin those paints, use two thin coats. Mm-hmm. It's a thinning. You don't need that much paint on the Mini.
Yep. If you're trying to get the black stuff in the crevices, there's a couple of different ways to get there. You can start, the more laborious way to do it is to start with a dark color on the whole Mini and then to individually paint each panel the lighter color that you want. A quicker way that you can get that, is you can try making your own wash out of your paint. So you can thin it down with water. That's not going to give you the best wash, but you can experiment with your ratio of paint to water and just kind of wash it over the whole entire mech. It'll dull down whatever paint job you've got. It'll dirty it up. And ideally, if it's thinned enough, it will settle into the recesses on the miniature and dry and leave those recesses darker than the rest of the Mini. You can add a little bit of like Dawn dish soap, like a drop, to that mixture. And once again, messing around with your ratios and stuff. And that will help the wash that you're making pull away from the panels and settle into the recesses. You can buy, I just bought Army Painter. Now this is like $20. So if that's too much, it's too much. Army Painter sells sells a speed paint medium, and you get enough to last a lifetime in this bottle. It's huge. And it will turn any of your acrylic paints into a wash. You just like 1-to-1 ratio. For $20, you could get a wash for any of your paints, and you could mix like a brown or a black into whatever color you're doing, plus the speed paint stuff, and get your wash. But most of the time, people are doing what's called a wash, and however you get there with water, with a little bit of soap, you just want it to settle into the cracks and the crevices and not dry on the flat parts, your panels and stuff. But yeah, that's my advice.
Right. And then like, so the wash is a lot of water. What I was saying, to thin the paints, that not that much water to just like paint them.
Yeah.
You want it about the consistency of milk, like a skim to 2% milk.
Yeah. Yeah. When it comes out of the tube and it makes like a pea size drop that stays the shape of a pea, it's
too thick.
It's pretty thick, too thick for miniature painting.
I mean, that's pretty much what I was going to say. Like, first off, make sure your paints are thin. Work up from a black, like, you know, rattle can and automotive primer works good enough. I've used it. It works fine enough. You don't need fancy paints. I see a lot of people in our Discord using Walmart brand.
Apple Barrel. I got Apple Barrel. Use it.
Yep. It works.
It does.
The big thing, I will say, splurge on your brushes. That's probably the biggest thing. Splurge on brushes more than anything because your tools will help you.
Yeah.
Get that paint into, like, I will wash a mech with like a black, but most of what I do is taking my smallest brush and just, you know, putting paint where I want it in the recesses, very thin down paint.
Yeah.
So that it's just technique and practice is the biggest thing.
True. So, yep.
But thanks, Dre. I hope you send us in pictures of your work so we can then give even better critiques and see what you're doing.
Yep. Post on Hobby Progress, the Mech Bay Discord.
And in store news, you can pick up the Proliferation Pack, the Urban Mech Pack, the Snords Irregulars Pack, and the Wreck Guide Readout Volume 1, and anything else your pile of potential demands from Forges Miniatures and Games. I know I have to get more mechs ordered, so I have a reason to paint what I already have, because that's how it works, folks. And I don't make the rules around here. I just follow them. All right. You want to take a quick break before we break into...
Yeah, nice.
Hi, Billy Mays here to talk to you about C3. Have you ever struggled with obtaining firing solutions on the field? Just can't seem to ever get in range? Well, now with new C3 computers, up to 4 mechs can all share targeting data. Everyone's always at short range. One mech in short range, now everyone's in short range. But wait, there's more. Act now and I'll throw in a box of our brand new tag, absolutely free. That's right, you get 4 mechs worth of free targeting data and a free tag designator for absolutely free.
Warning, this product weighs 1 ton. Installation voids warranty. Certain frequencies known to the mastery of Canopus to cause cancer, diarrhea, and even death. Device known to stop functioning in the presence of microwaves, guardianing ECN, and HVG networks.
All right, and we are back. Now, I debated on this for a long time. What would be the best way to approach the 32 holy tomes of, you know, Battletech's resurgence? Y'all both laugh, but y'all both agree. That's the problem. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. No, this was not as easy as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, so, yeah. So this is the Wreck-It Ralph, the Wreck Guide in review. And instead of reviewing each Wreck Guide, I thought...
Because that's
too much.
It's madness.
It's too much.
We're each going to pick our 3 favorite things from the Wreck Guides that we keep going back to... We just can't get out of our heads, or we just love unconditionally, you know, they can do no wrong. Things that we are excited to put on the table either now or are looking forward to once it gets a model and just can't wait. So each of us are going to pick 3 of these units, and we're going to talk about them, how they make us feel, mm-hmm. what they do on the table, and just overall, you know, general thoughts.
Yeah, no, I had a problem with it. I was trying to narrow it down. I looked down at my list. I had 9 units on my list that I was supposed Whoa. To break down into 3. And then I noticed something. Every single one of them was a fast, medium mech. Every single one of them.
You have a personality type.
You do like, I guess. You do like your strikers.
So mm-hmm. I took a hard look at that, and I think I ended up on my official list only picking 1 medium just to be diverse, just to force myself to look at the other mechs that I've used. But I would have to say, out of this Wreck Guide, I am extremely pleased with the love that they have given the medium mech, which was always my favorite.
Dustin, what about you? How hard was it to whittle it down to 3?
It wasn't too bad because I'm... Ever since I hated the Victor and then put it on the table once and loved it, I really, really like to reserve judgment for mechs that I've put on the table. So I approached this one, or the way in which I approached this one was I just started thinking of all the lists I've run, all the Wreck Guide exclusive stuff that I've been building, and just thinking of my favorites from that list. And I still ended up with 5. And then I knocked it down to 3. And what I'll try to talk about is because some of my favorites are just a new theme on an old mech, or it just does what it does better and in a more focused way. But the 3 that I'm going to go over, or that I like, or I brought to the table tonight, kind of shape my gameplay in a certain way, or brought new tactics to the table for me. So yeah. That was how I approached it.
I like it. All right, so I'll start. I chose for my first pick the Warcrow, which unfortunately Denim, like, he saw me typing it up on the sheet and he was like, yeah, I knew that one was coming.
Yeah, no, I picked 2 out of your 3 choices as Josh choices for sure. I didn't know what the 3rd one was going to be. Nailed the first 2.
Nice.
Yeah, so I chose the Warcrow, and not because it's a like Raven Alliance thing. I chose the mech, and the mech kind of made me want to do more of that stuff.
Right.
And I'm specifically choosing the Warcrow C variant.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's a 70-ton clan Omni mech, has ferrolamellar armor, which is choice because, you know, reducing every group of 5 to a group of 4. You'd love to see it. It's a 5.8, so it's the perfect, you know, clan heavy speed profile.
Nice.
You've got 14 double heat sinks, so 28 sinking ability, which is, it's reasonable, but wait for it. It's got 2 ER large lasers, 2 ER medium lasers, and 2 ATM-9s with 4 pods.
What kind of pods?
Any 4 you want, Dustin.
Yeah, any 4 advanced tactical missile pods. So it comes with 2 standard and then 1 heavy, or 1 high explosive and then 1 extended range, but you can technically swap that out for any type.
Oh, 4 ammo bins.
Yeah, 4 ammo pods.
Oh, sorry. I saw a coolant pod here too, and I was very confused. Sorry.
Ah, you beat me to it. Yes, it has the coolant pod to sink, you know, triple heat sinks for 1 turn.
Man, you love your radical heat sink systems and your coolant pods.
I'm a simple man. I like to get hot.
That's right.
So I chose this one because it really, I don't want to say it's a Timberwolf with aesthetics, but as someone who never really liked Timberwolves,
it is absolutely a Timberwolf.
2 large lasers.
Yeah.
And you got 2 other lasers. And it's like, okay, why does this seem familiar? And I was like, oh no, it's a Timberwolf.
It's just a little, it's a Timberwolf that got cut at the gym.
Yeah.
It dropped a little bit of weight, got a tan.
It's got sleek aesthetics. I like that. But I like the ATMs. That is my favorite thing. I like mechs that have ATMs as like a dedicated weapon system. And with the 4 tons of ammo, it really lets me like play around. Like, okay, turn 1 and 2, I'm firing extended. Turn 3 and 4, I'm firing standard. And then the rest of the game, I'm probably firing high explosive at you.
Yep. I've run a Warwolf. I think it's a D. It's the one with 2 ATM-9s. And I can personally attest to doing 54 points of damage in a turn with just the ATMs, high explosive.
Yeah.
Yeah. In groups of five.
I've killed a lot of mechs with these ATMs. And it's always enjoyable when it happens. Yeah. The BV is a little high at 2572. So you're looking at, you know, clan heavy.
That's your big boy.
Yeah, that's a big boy.
25 is not too much though.
No.
Yeah.
And the C variant specifically is not the most expensive. It's not generating the highest TMM out of the group, but it's
keeping things sane.
It's keeping it sane. I like that it doesn't have pulses either, so I never feel like super dirty using it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got ER larges and ER mediums. I'm like, okay, this is just a sniper mech, and then it can shift into brawly.
Yeah.
But not like oppressive brawly.
Yeah, it's a nice mech.
Yeah.
Like the Feral Amalur too.
It's very nice. It hurts. And people get angry when it's like, oh, I shoot my SRMs. And I'm like, cool, you shot 1 damage SRMs at me.
Yep.
So yeah, so that is me. That is the Warcrow C. I think it is definitely one of the best things out of the rec guides as a whole.
Denim?
Yeah, so I went totally different because, like I said, all of the mechs I was choosing were all fast mediums that were just fun to play. Like the Bushwhacker you were talking about, Dustin, that was on my list. The Eris was on there. That Hatchet Man that's actually good was on there. The one that was 585 and it's got an LB-10X and AES. Like that was on there. Even my Shadowhawk, like the one that my pilot pilots, it's the 5S, that's from the rec guide. So all of those are on my list, but I only picked one for this because I can't take all of those mediums. So I went with the one that was the craziest fast medium out of all of that, and that was the Contio. So that's a little guy. It's 40 tons, but it's
just a little
fast.
Guy.
It's a little guy.
How fast?
Well, when his TSM goes off and he engages the supercharger, he is 18 fast. Well, no,
that
sorry,
is
16 fast. 16, 16 fast. He is 16 fast.
I'm sorry, not 18, only 16. Well,
I wanted 18 because that's the plus 5 TMM, but he only goes 16, so he's 2 off from there. He goes 16 fast.
You want to pay BV for that, though.
But it's important because he's got a stealth armor, so you can't hit him very well from far away if he's going that fast, especially if he hops into woods. Yeah. He has the micro pulse laser that does 1 heat, so no matter what he's doing, he can always get that 9 heat threshold.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's got like 6 small lasers, a couple medium pulse lasers, and that micro pulse laser. But he's got 2 claws. And a 40-ton mech does 6 points of damage with the claws. But with TSM, it goes up to 12. So from 16 hexes away, he can run up to you and do 2 12-point claws to your face and then run away really fast.
Nice.
So with the, with the stealth armor, it just, you know, this nimble, agile, 40 ton blurry thing comes rushing out of the foliage, like rips up the guy who's next to you and then just disappears in the woods. You're like, what the hell? So it's just fun. It's not super good all by itself, but when working with a team that will support it, like the one or two times I've played with it on the tabletop, it was sufficiently frightening to the other player. And I like that. So
nice.
That's my one medium mech choice from the rec guides, even though I like so many of them.
I like it. My only problem ever with the Kantu is it has no like big gun, but I also understand that it's not supposed to be a big gun.
Right. It's a mech that's slightly different in that way because it doesn't have a big gun. It's not meant to be played like it. He has to be moving. You can't park him somewhere and just say this is where this turret lives and it's going to just shoot guns and that's what it does really well. Like it's you have to come up with tactics and you have to think about it per match, per map, and
that per map is where I was thinking. I was like, oh yeah, you bet, Shawley. And I'm like, let's do this river one where you have to like walk through every hill, right?
Yeah,
or walk through every stream.
I could still walk 8, which isn't horrible when it comes to those, as long as there's woods, but yeah, it's you definitely have to think about it for sure, but I like that.
Yeah, I like it. I like its aesthetic too. I'm excited to see the sculpt whenever it comes out.
A clan dedicated melee mech, essentially. Right.
Desgra, very Desgra.
I mean,
that's fine.
It even says it's like this is for export, as not every ghost bear wants to use it.
Yeah.
Bad reputation quirk. I'm like, oh.
Yes. For both Inner Sphere and Clan.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
How about you, Dustin? What you got?
Yeah, it leaves me with my first pick tonight because I think it's the most true to the format I'm trying to run tonight, and that's the Annihilator 5W. It's got 4 Clan Pulse Lasers and 4 Clan Gauss Rifles as well. 230 standard Annihilator stuff, a little more armor than your classic Annihilator, which is kind of squishy. This one, not so much. I have hated all Annihilators, and I put this on the table mostly because I had the mini and I painted it, and I've been running my rec guide stuff. So I ran this one, and I have since used it in another game, Denim, where I remembered that the medium lasers were pulse.
Yeah. Yep.
Which makes it a better mech. by the way, this one comes in at $25.95. So also in that expensive, but not ridiculous kind of slot at 4.5. The list I've run with this twice now is like, Brick and Striker friends. And I've never really run that before. In the true essence of its spirit, I usually take a more diverse crew. But yeah, it's been fun. Because this one has the range and it can watch its own back, not literally back, but its own, flank with the pulse lasers.
Like, what are you talking about? It can't even turn around in, one turn.
I know. But it is a big old brick that I can throw down on the table. And the rest of it, because this is so immobile, and most of the games I'm trying to play these days are mission based or whatever, the rest of the list has to be able to compensate for that and, keep an eye on him. So usually I'll take like a striker that I consider more of a bulldog, like a close in, like SRM carrier that's not an SRM carrier to pal around with the Annihilator and be able to go on the offensive for the objective. But yeah, the 5W is kind of brought just a different doctrine, not that I'm staying with it, but just a new idea to my repertoire, my toolbox. So that's why I picked this one.
It does a lot of damage. I think like it's a good mech. No question. My only problem with it being like a rec guide mech that stands out is the fact that it's not alone. It has 4 Clan Gauss Rifles. It's not even the only mech in the rec guide that has 4 Clan Gauss Rifles.
Oh, you're right.
The Crucible also has that. And there's an Annihilator that has 5 Clan Gauss Rifles.
So, is there?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's called the Gossilla. How do you fit that? Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's another
version of
it's
itself.
Another large assault mech that's super slow that has as many Gauss rifles as you can cram into it. And it's, you know, it's a turret because it's very, it very slow. So it you really just park is. It somewhere in some heavy woods, preferably in partial cover, and you just shoot things until either it dies or something gets past your other units and behind you, and then you die. That's yep. My only problem is I was specifically trying to find mechs that you have to play differently, I guess. But
yeah,
I mean, the Annihilator is it does its name. It annihilates things.
So yeah, it's probably is a very standard loadout for an Annihilator. Four big guns and four, you know, smaller lasers. Very typical stuff, but probably just because this was the first time I'd really put it on the table and liked an Annihilator. And then
all I can think of looking at is I'm not dismissing or agreeing with Dinnaman anyway. It's like the pilot with this will die before the mech dies.
Yeah.
Just because each of those Gauss rifles is going to explode, and he's got case two to stop them from exploding.
Oh, and he's going to be a vegetable.
And he's going to be a vegetable. If he loses, you know, both of his arms and somehow, you know, the explosion, it's like he's already got four pilot hits. Like, oh, buddy, hope you got good insurance. But I like it. I mean, I could definitely just see it like on the top of the hill as soon as you deploy. Like he runs two turns and he never has to move again.
Oh, he's terrifying. Yeah. I mean, no question. Absolutely terrifying. Just if you've got the counter to him, then he's
counter him up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So that's everybody's first.
Yeah. So we've got two snipers and one brawler. So
I don't know if the Warcrow's a snipe. He's like a bracket builder.
It's got sniper as the designation. I can only go with what the book says.
Well, if you're going by the book, the Contio is a striker, not a brawler.
I don't believe that. I don't believe anything with two claws.
When it comes in and does 24 points of damage on the punch table from 16 hexes away, that's a striker.
Yeah. It's the speed.
He's got stealth armor, so he doesn't have hardened armor or anything to absorb it. He's got to come in, hit hard, and then run away. So he's a striker for sure.
Yeah. Okay. There's lots of close in damage. If you're mega slow, you're a juggernaut. If you're medium slow, you're a brawler. If you're fast, you're a striker.
Yeah. And Dustin is absolutely correct. Like looking at my list, most of my mediums are strikers or skirmishers.
Man, you love strikers.
I do. They're so good.
That Phoenix Hawk.
Yeah.
K9 or whatever.
You just got to be happy with not moving fast, man. Just that 4.6, it's good enough. It's good enough.
4.6 is not good enough.
That Phoenix Hawk would have been on this list, Dustin, but it's not an ill.
It's not a wreck
guide. It's not a wreck guide mech. All right. So what's our next ones?
All right.
This one I absolutely called Josh for as well.
Bracket two, I chose the Stormbird Battle Armor. And the reason I did is because they kind of made me fall in love with ground-based battle armor again. Standard. I've never been able to enjoy Elementals. I liked Sylphs because they flew. I like Ares because they were in space and just were a dude with a big gun. These were the first, this is battle armor. And this is what battle armor is supposed to be. Like, when I think battle armor, which is slow-moving, high damage, just area denial.
Mm-hmm.
Utterly destroyed. You've got your two variants. You've got the Jade Falcon one, which walks one, jumps two, but I liked the standard variant, the Raven Alliance one, and that one's got a heavy flamer and advanced SRM-3 with five shots.
Ooh. Five reloads. Yeah, that's a lot of ammo. Yeah, because those come in groups of five, right? Their clan?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, That's a lot of damage.
What?
That's a lot of damage. Yeah. What's a 3x5? Oh, that's 15 SRM2s on a perfect roll.
No, but they're SRM3s.
Oh, that's right. They're threes.
Yeah, it's 30 points of damage, potentially.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Five times. And the advanced SRMs go up to 12, right?
Yes, because they're 4, 6, 12.
Right. Yeah, no, that's really good. That's a lot of damage you can just pump out.
Yeah. So they got like streak range brackets. without the streak power.
Roughly.
Right. Yeah.
They are very area denial. So like if there's something that's, these are perfect against your Annihilator, Dustin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like if these are perfectly mated with something that I just need to deliver, and then whatever the, you know, the battle armor taxis just runs away and lets them do their own thing.
Yeah, especially at 633 battle value.
Yeah. They are assault battle armor because they have 13 health. And you know what? There's not a lot of things that can kill 13, you know, armor and then one structure, one health in one shot. They are mechanized, so they can ride mechs.
But one thing that can would be a mech with four Gauss rifles that could take out four of them every turn.
That's true. That's true. But is he really going to shoot?
Oh, I would.
Four Gauss rifles.
Was he worried about heat from your flamer? No.
Well,
they're Gauss rifles.
Ideally, you've dropped like two sets of them off in the rear arc, and it's like time to run.
Yeah.
That's
a problem.
The problem is you can outrun them. So
that is true. But then you're making the Annihilator move, and then the person who deployed the Annihilator is like, great.
Yeah.
It's not moving far, and it's taking movement penalties on my, you know, 2,500 battle value, 2,600, right under at 26.
Yeah. One thing I didn't mention is they're fire resistant for armor. Oh. So just like salamanders.
Mm-hmm.
They are immune to fire-based attacks, so infernos.
Plasma rifles, plasma cannons, all the things that I like to use against elementals and battle armor.
Yeah. Aren't going to work.
Nope.
Yeah, because the hard counter to especially durable battle armor is your infernos. It's three missiles and you delete a trooper. So, nice. Yeah.
So you gotta crack these guys open the hard way. And like I said, this kind of reinvigorated my love of durable battle armor. I'd never liked gnomes. I never liked Coronas and all those guys. I really didn't like elementals. Like elementals would jump off and then they'd jump three and they just like constantly try to chase things until they could get on. And then you're fighting leg attacks and swarm attacks. And that was never my style. I wanted something that was like, all right, I've deployed battle armor. Now you're going to be afraid, not because of, you know, a leg attack or swarm attack, because they can't do that. You're going to be afraid because they can do a lot of damage and they can mess with your heat scale. And that's my preferred style, is mess with your heat scale and do damage.
Yeah. So stay away from this area.
Yeah. They're my area of denial, which I never felt like elementals could do well as perfectly as I want them to.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I, on the other hand, love elementals. my big problem with them are that they only move three, and once they fire their SRMs, they only have a range of three as well. So if you could stay four hexes away, you win. Like, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
I don't use regular elementals so much as area denial as I do to take out things like the Annihilator. You know, the enemy's slow. Heavy hitting mechs. Yeah. But the rec guides have the elemental threes, specifically the ones with the AP Gauss rifles. They also jump three, but they have stealth armor, so they take less damage from far away because you can't hit them as well. And their AP Gauss, once they're done with their one shot SRM, the AP Gauss goes nine hexes. Like, it's got a 9 hex range to do up to 15 points of damage because they each do 3. So a decent amount of damage at a good range. And they have stealth armor, so they're harder to hit.
Nice.
It's really, really nice. It's very confusing for the opponent, but not so confusing that they're not having fun. They're definitely defeatable, but they make them react to that, and that's what I'm looking for with elementals, is forcing my opponent to react, and I just have so much fun with these guys.
See, I tried the elemental threes with flamer and found those guys really, really lacking, but I really like you choosing the AP Gauss rifles.
The range helps so much.
Range. Yeah.
So you're not using them to like get in and, you know, swarm attack, leg attack, and, you know, fight underneath the feet of the mechs. You're actually like just a couple hexes away plinking.
If I have the opportunity to leg attack or swarm attack a non-jumping heavy mech that the opponent has, or assault mech, absolutely I will. But this gives me more options for when I can't, or when they're a little bit too fast, or when I just don't have that opportunity. And it gives me other things that I can do than just sit there if I'm more than three hexes away and go, oh, well. So it's,
oh, well,
it's the options. I like options.
Yeah. The other thing is the only single shot for the advanced SRMs.
Yep. Yep. That's when you get right behind the enemy mech and you're just like, this is my best shot. This is where I'm shooting them.
You roll a two on the cluster table.
I do it all the time.
I know.
All the time. You've seen it.
I need more attempts. I need Lady Luck to, you know, reinvest.
That's where the AP Gauss, like the AP Gauss each does 3 points, which is, you know,
a small laser.
Well, it's 1.5 of an SRM. So it's like the average amount of damage I'd be doing with the SRMs.
Oh, yeah.
But I can do it every turn.
So just drop the SRMs. Put something useful on there.
I'm happy with how they are.
Okay.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
What about you, Dustin? What kind of battle armor did you pick for number two?
Boo, I don't like battle armor. Neither do I. Yeah. I haven't run any of the Rec Guide battle armor. No Tin Star, no Elemental Threes or Stormbirds. What I have, this is so glorious. I love this mech so much. I have the Trebuchet from the Rec Guides, because there's only one, but that is the
Trebuchet.
It is. It's the 9N, the 9 November. This one comes in with 2 clan spec LRM-15s and 3 variable speed pulse lasers
In the
typical locations you'd expect on a Trebuchet. And it's a little more slippery than the standard Trebuchet. Instead of 5.8, we're coming in at 6.90. And this somehow comes in at a cool 1550 battle value. How? So this is, I just love this mech. This is just such a good Trebuchet. It can do its role, that the traditional Trebuchet role, that is, you know, hit them with the LRMs when they're out, hit them with the lasers when they're in. You have even more flexibility with this one because you have the clan LRMs with no minimum range. And as far as what this Trebuchet brought to me is like the new doctrine of thinking in the Ill Clan Rec Guide era is really just thinking about bracket builds more, because I think at the end of the day, this is kind of a bracket build. Even though you can hit with the LRMs in close, it doesn't have enough heat. We're running 11 double heat sinks, so 22. So you got to be, you know, you fire the 3 lasers, that's 21, plus your run, you're taking a little bit of heat. You could do 2 lasers in an LRM-15 or something like that. But yeah, it hits out far, and you can poke with the VSPs with the extra heat you got laying around. And then you can close. And then the biggest reason I love this mech so much is it's 1550 battle value, and every time I've put it on the table, I think it's one of our favorite sayings around here is, I paid for the whole Trebuchet. I'm going to use the whole trip. This thing is a husk when I'm done with it. Because you've got the different locations, and you've got the, you do have an XL, so it's going to die when it loses the side torso, but I just get so much out of this thing. This thing is just absolutely battered.
And an XL gyro. That's where your BV comes from right there, is XL engine, XL gyro, big cut to your BV.
There you go. But 1550.
It's a medium mech that does a lot of damage. So, I'm telling you, the Rec Guide loves their medium mechs. They give them a lot of love.
And medium mechs are great. I love them too. This is just chef's kiss for me.
Yeah.
It's almost my favorite. I saved my favorite for last.
Unlike your Annihilator, I am 100% behind your choice here.
Yeah. This is just the Trebuchet. Chef's kiss.
What does the Trebuchet come in? I'm gotta buy that now. I need to buy that pack.
I don't know, but especially as a Merrick boy, I mean, I already got a couple Trebuchets laying around, right? Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at it and I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I want in most.
It's incredible. It's an incredible mech. It's just, I got nothing but praise for it.
All right. I think Dustin won this bracket, though. I got to give it to him.
Yeah. If, like, because of the VSPs, if it was 696, it would be even better, or 695, something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, that just that jump, because the -3 on the VSP would, you know, counteract that jumping modifier.
Yep.
That means it can run. It can run, getting close when it needs to finish something off.
Yeah. I mean, that's it's a 6.9, so it's good. Like, that's, I've got
it's
no
really
problems.
Good.
I'm just saying that's.
You want all your mechs to jump, though.
I do, and I want them to jump 7 or more. Yes, but
yeah. But if this jumped, it would probably cost a little more, not that much more, because it can generate the TMM3 because it can move the 9. So
right,
and if it was a 5,
I mean, it can enter heavy woods and still get the 3 because heavy woods are 2. Nope, yep. Enter light. Yeah, yep, heavy yep. woods. It would still get a 3 plus the 2 for the heavy woods. It'd be great. Yeah. No, I like it. I do. I like it a lot. It's exactly what I look for in a mech.
It's just beautiful. Are we ready to move on after showering the Trebuchet 9N with love?
Yeah.
I just, and praise? All I know is I'm going out to buy one after this episode releases.
Like, Josh is like, what is this thing?
Yeah, no.
I need it right now.
I've seen it. I've seen yours. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I'm not a Trebuchet fan. But then you're like, uh-huh. 3 medium variable speed pulse lasers, Josh. I'm like, okay.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
6.9.
Excuse me, what?
No minimum range on the LRM-15s. Love it.
It's that meme with the rock, and you're just like,
oh,
is it the rock? He keeps on looking. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The third one was a toss up. Do we go with my exterminator friend?
I feel like the exterminator is just the screaming, overheated, overstressed.
But I already talked about it on the Origins episode.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Just for everybody else, tell them how hot this thing can get, the Exterminator 7X.
Oh my gosh. How
is it hot? 64? He can take it a turn?
Stupid.
It's the screaming sun from, since we're talking about
Rick and Morty.
That show. Rick and Morty, yeah.
That show. All right. Yeah, so, oh my God. It's the XXL. You've got 26 heat sinks. So, you know, decent. Yeah, so it can jump 5. Then it, you know, it jumps for 10 heat. So you've already used like half your heat there.
Yeah,
and if you're using the stealth armor, you know, that's 10 more 10. Heat.
That's 10 more. If your laser AMS goes off, you're at plus 7. So if you jump while stealth and somebody shoots a missile at you,
you haven't even shot your weapons. And
you haven't even shot your weapons. You're already overheating. You're already plus 1 heat. You add in
4 VSPs? That's hot.
4 VSPs. Let's just say you're firing the MRM-10 just because you're there. And why not do the laser, the ER small laser? So you're at 61. You only sink 26.
Did you get the movement or the heat from the movement if you run it? Oh, I guess you'd jump it.
Yeah. You jump, so it's still hot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because running it gives you, is it 4 heat?
Running gives you 4. It's twice walking as gives you 2. Yeah. And jumping gives you minimum 6. Somewhere between 6 hot. And 10. Yeah. So yeah, you're at 35 heat if everything happens. Now you can get, you've got that single use coolant pod.
Yeah. You know, because you jumped, I have to use my coolant pod.
Yeah. So then you've got 39 sinking ability. AKA you will shut down automatically. I don't care how hot you roll.
Yeah.
That mech's done. If you don't ammo explode, I'll put it that way. You will ammo explode before you shut down.
Oh, yeah, MRMs, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why they put an MRM in there because of that.
A lot of these mechs have weird little flaws. The fact that this has ammo at all is a flaw.
Do you want to know the other flaw? The composite structure.
The wet cardboard armor.
If anyone gets through the armor, it's just double damage structure.
Yeah, nice.
Okay. So that was my honorable mention. Or I can just go with that and say, it's fun. It's wild. You'll only ever misplay that one wrong once before, like, you literally burn your hand after you pick the model up.
Yeah, I remember because one time I didn't have my mechs and you're like, oh, just take one of my forces. And that was one of them on there. And as I'm doing things, you're like, oh, that's got an XXL. So that jump you just did 10 heat. I'm like, oh,
oh no.
Look at that. You know, everything I did, you're like, yep, you're overheating again. I remember that.
Here I go, overheating again. what do you think about the super overheating exterminator? Now, the problem is there's not a lot of like decent exterminator variants. So my thought is this a good one? And I'm like, I don't know. Is it fun one? Yes. Yes, it's wild.
Man, this is, I don't want to kink shame you here, but like this is so off the reservation for me that I'm like, what are you talking about? This mech is so hot.
For almost 1700 BV. I mean,
they should pay you BV to take it.
This is all you, man. This is all too weird for me.
Like I've played it. I'm not going to say that, you know, it definitely takes some getting used to, but there's, you know, there's coming up with a specific tactic for a mech. And then there's, you know, this inferno that just goes in there, does one thing. Maybe it survives, but the thing that it did it to is most likely dead. Yeah. So it's just a suicide. It's one of those from Fallout, like the super mutants with that are carrying the big nukes that just run in and explode.
If only he could self engine crit himself when he overheats.
Yeah.
If only. Stack self stack polling mechs. Alrighty. Denim, what's yours?
Oh, I went crazy this time because like I said, I only picked one medium and the Contio is fun. That the elementals were really, really fantastic, but I went with the Viper. I know there's like three or four mechs named Viper out there, but this one is just Viper.
Okay. Call sign Viper.
Yeah. Right.
You get the bangs.
Which ret guide is this?
This is ret guide 32. It's the last one.
I was like, this is the last one.
Yeah.
Because we talked about this mech.
We're
like,
because we were talking about mechs that we've used. And when we started doing Solaris stuff, I looked at this and I'm like, this variant, specifically the VP9 Viper, was such a cool idea for a one-on-one mech. This is, I've played it against like 2v2. Does not work. Does not work at all. But a 1v1, it works super, super well.
Oh, so this thing.
It has, on its left arm, four plasma cannons. They only do heat.
Oh, my God.
But they do 2d6 heat each. So that's
it has four?
Eight. It's 8d6 heat that it does to you. You know, from a good
max
distance.
15,
from like
max 15.
Right. Max 15, of course. From like 18 hexes away, though.
Okay, I'm looking at a 4d6 bell curve.
Yeah.
And the top of the bell is 14.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you're
average. I'm averaging my 15 heat. Which slows you down enough. Oh, by the way, I've got AES in that left arm just to make it a little bit easier to shoot you.
Nice.
And then once you're slow, I can run, walk, jump over to you and use my mace that does 18 points of damage. And I love this for several reasons. One, it has no actual damage that it can do from range, like at all.
Yeah.
So you have to use that heat to slow them down or trap them somehow. And then with the mace, if I miss, I risk hitting myself or falling over.
Really?
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, because it's a mace. So if you screw that up, you know, it's a PSR and you can hit yourself.
Lovely.
Yeah, for 18 points of damage in the face. So it's got a lot of downsides, but for a Solaris mech, it's just so much fun. Because even if it fails spectacularly, it's amazing. It's just fun. It's scary, but also silly at the same time. And also, as the icing on the cake, or should I say the icing inside of it, it also has composite internal structure. So once you do get past that armor, it just collapses. It's got cardboard, wet cardboard for its internal structure.
Well, I have,
but I have played it and it is fun.
I think it's a funny coincidence that somehow we all picked for our third mech composite structure mechs.
That's awesome.
Why do we do this?
I don't know. So for my third, if you're ready, done?
I'm ready. I'm done. Yeah, unless you guys have something else to say about it that I haven't already.
Conceptually, I love this. It's just with the fist of heat just running in.
It's
and like,
just
you're
amazing.
Going nowhere. I got my mace and I'm coming for you. It's very,
like the first four ammo funny. He fires is just at the beginning, up into the ceiling, like to you know show off because all the lights go out and then the flames just fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. A showboat for sure.
Beautiful.
Give it to me, Dustin.
Yes, what all is right. it?
So one of the very first that I ran, I have the King Crab 011, the King Crab 11. This is the fast crab. So it's a 4.6 with, I think, mask or supercharger. What do we got here?
We got a supercharger.
Supercharger. So we can get that up to 8. We got 2 LB20 XACs. We got a rocket launcher 15 and a plasma rifle. I like this aesthetically because it matches the loadout on the mini. It's WYSIWYG.
Oh, hey, look at that.
Yeah. It's got token heat with the plasma rifle. It's got the LV-20s. And I mean, this is one of the ones where I was like, yeah, it's a crab. I'm trying to run, you know, rec guide mechs. Let me put this on the table. And I was smitten. It's running an XXL.
Yep.
So also hot, as we were saying, it's got that composite armor. So once you crack this crab, he's got to get out of there. No case.
This kills the crab, man.
This kills the crab. Yeah. You get through the armor, it kills the crab. It does have, you know, 46 on the center torso, 32 on the left and right, 34, you know, it's got the armor. It's
max.
This
armor.
Has got to be max
100 yeah. tons.
Maxed 100 ton armor. So it's a tough nut to crack. What if I feel like, you know, like the general staff was sitting in the room one day and they're like, what if the anvil was fast? It's just such a bully. It's 2,400 battle value.
Nice.
So expensive, like
with an XXL and with cardboard internal, it's still yeah. that expensive.
Still.
That's and crazy.
I say I've run this thing like 2 or 3 times, worth every penny, take it every time. It's just a monster. I love this thing. What do you guys think?
I mean, it's scary and it does its job. Unlike the Annihilator, I think it's more fun.
Yeah.
And that's
certainly
what I'm looking
for. Probably more fun.
That's what I'm looking yeah. for in these is A, how much fun is it? B, like what kind of new technology is it using? Like, you know, the Gauss rifles, we've had Gauss rifles for decades, but things
damn,
like
listen,
yeah.
man, I've been listening to Guns N' Roses for 40 years. Don't complain to me.
but things that have composite armor, things that have the plasma rifles, the AES, yeah. stuff like that. That's what I'm looking for in the rec guide mechs is, you know, let's make this fun and let's get the tech level balanced between Intersphere and Clan, like more balanced so that, you know, we can go back to having fun instead of complaining about, you know,
I have to take 4 Intersphere mechs for every like 1.5 Clan mechs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm down with this.
AC-20 is an AC-20.
Yeah.
And it's got 2 AC-20s.
But the supercharger and the composite arm internal, like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's just
why do you keep mistaking composite structure?
Because composite armor is a thing. Like it is.
Oh God, it is. That sounds
not
gross.
Not, really. Not in BattleTech. Like in actual real life, composite armor is okay. a thing. So okay. When I say composite, my brain wants to say armor.
Okay. But yes, the composite structure. Yeah. Once you get through the shell, this thing's yeah. going down. Yeah, it's nice. I've paired this with the Hunchback C. It's gross.
I literally watched you make people cry with this.
I've got this list. And the stars are the King Crab 11 and the Hunchback C, and I call it my Bruiser Boys.
I remember the very first time you ran this mech, Dustin. I was not playing against you, but I remember that.
Yeah. So
I was there.
I was there.
I mean, no one can deny having an assault mech that can run 8 is just so choice.
Well, that's the problem with the AC-20 is when you've got an AC-20 guy who only goes 4.6, it's so easy to stay at 10 hexes away from him. But then when suddenly your double AC-20 mech goes 8, you're like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah. And with the LBXs too, you can shoot canister at range while you're closing the distance or the distance,
yep.
Which I love that so yep. much. And then if you pop the hole, then you can switch back to canister and crit the thing out. So it's just nice.
Yep. Question. What are you saving the rocket launcher for, though?
Oh, nothing. Cross the, you know, on the opening turn, I'm like, let's dump the ammo. I shoot that rocket launcher off and soften them up a little bit. I guess you could save it for later, but the thing runs hot. I don't think you have You got 32 heat sinks. Maybe it doesn't. I think you can shoot off everything and run it, and it's heat neutral.
So I save it for when the arms get shot off, because it always happens, and then you still get that one last firework display.
Okay. That makes sense, because the ammo's in the legs. Like, they're not all of it. Yes, but a majority of the ammo is in the legs.
There's ammo all over this thing, and it's got no case. So
if you've got composite internal structure, you don't need case.
That's true. You're just gonna wet noodle
XXL cardboard ammo all throughout. You're like, I got you for 3 minutes. Three minutes of playtime.
Yeah, once you're through the shell on this crab, you got to get out. Even the blurb in the rec guide mentions, like, oh, you know, warriors must retreat after taking damage to avoid ammo explosions.
Any
like,
damage.
Yeah. So, yeah.
No, I love it.
Do we have any stinkers? I'm the only one that wrote anything down here for the losers section.
I have a category for the stinkers. I've got a whole category. Because there's a lot of them.
Dustin, why don't you lead off on the, you know, losers of the rec guides?
I ran a Stinger 5M once. It's 432 battle value.
Which is less than my elementals.
Yeah, so maybe I'm just not being fair, but it was just a womp-womp. Honorable mention is all the Night Jeers. I painted up a Night Jeer, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to run my Night Jeer, my rec guide Night. I'm like, my brother, there are no Night Jeers that are under 2,700 battle value in the rec guides.
Yeah, that's the cheap one.
It is. There's a 28er in there or something like that. I'm like, these are 25 is like my hard cut. It's just that's too much to lose to a headshot. Even if I'm playing a rec guide 7,500, you know, 7.5K list, putting three or close to 3,000 battle value in one mech, that's too much for me to stomach. So I haven't been able to run any of the new Night Jeers because they're too damn expensive.
Yep.
So those are my losers. How about you guys?
I mean, so you've hit exactly my problem. Is it's not just the Stinger 5M. It's how many light mechs they have that go 6.9 or slower. If you're in a light mech and you can't go at least 7.11, like, you're with all especially, the VSPs and pulse weapons and LBXs,
you're asking too much. You're
and AES,
not everything needs to go TMM4. Some things need to, you know, go into cover for a turn or two,
and then Josh only descents.
And then only strike when they get a good opportunity.
They need to if they're light mechs, they need to jump into cover. They need to be able to run all the way over there to that cover. A light mech should never, not in the Ilkalan rec guide type stuff. With, like I said, with pulse lasers, VSPs, AES, targeting computers, precision ammo, all that out there, if a light mech is going less than 7.11, it's life expectancy is seconds.
And that's what happened to my Stinger 5M. It died so fast. Yeah. I mean, it was, I probably, looking at the battle value now, I had the bad taste in my mouth. I looked the record sheet up and I was like, oh, it is only 432 battle value, but I was probably padding my list. So I guess I get what I paid for.
I would have gone with elementals. Yep. Over that guy.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Anybody else got any disappointments?
I've got the plasma cannon pike. Now, I originally had thought this was
you
a
and
plasma
I both.
Rifle. Yeah. Is this some like Bernstein Bears or some like Shazam the movie thing? Like, but yep. I remembered this when I looked at it. I was like, oh, it's the plasma pike. It's the plasma rifle pike. No, it's the plasma cannon pike.
Oh, it has four plasma cannons and nothing else?
It has three plasma cannons.
Oh, that's right. The pike has the. Okay. Yep.
And what else does it have?
It must have something because it does one damage at the brackets in the Alpha Strike card.
It does three turret mounted plasma cannons and streak SRM2s with a targeting computer. So the plasma cannons hit better, but it's kind of like, hey, I'd like to do a little damage. Like, I understand plasma cannons are significantly lighter than plasma rifles, but a three plasma rifle mech is significantly better than just doing heat.
Yeah. I have not run plasma cannons yet. I should run them. I should try them out and see how it feels.
2D6. I mean, if you do, run it on a Viper, not on a Pike.
There you go.
Yeah, a dedicated heat generating vehicle that's that slow is a little weird. Like, it doesn't, it's not doing out to the range that you would expect or the damage. Like, it's just there. And it can't really maneuver to, like, really exploit it when you need to put heat on something.
What's the range brackets on the cannons?
Oh, Lord. It's
got oh, sorry. Don't worry about it.
No, I had it right
6, 12, 18.
There you go. 18. I knew okay. It was 18.
That's got reach.
It's got reach. It just doesn't, the unit can't put them mm-hmm. when they need to.
Yeah. Yeah.
My second dishonorable mention is the Storm Wolf. And that kind of suffers from the, we added, Clan Wolf did Clan Wolf things and added too many toys to their toy. And now they got to pay the price for, oh man,
oh
we had
a God. This is 3,300 battle. Oh, no, I'm looking at the Alpha Wolf. Never mind.
I mean, both of them, the Storm Wolf and the Alpha Wolf. Like, we, you know, had Watchdogs, EWS, and a target computer. Only,
oh, geez.
You know, four guns. I'm like, okay, that's 3,300. No. and because you don't need, you know, the rotary five light tag for 2,800. So it suffers for a 50 ton medium mech. You're paying clan assault prices.
How? It's 28, you said, that medium? The Storm Wolf?
The prime is 28, and then it just gets more expensive from there.
Wow. That is pricey.
Yeah. It is.
Mm. All right.
So those it's got are that our reflective armor. That's what's cranking up that battle value.
Oh, okay.
Does reflective really, you know?
I'm not a fan of reflective because, you know, things like rack fives and AC 20s and all my physical attack guys, re-engineered lasers, which I love. All of that says ha to reflective.
Yep.
Reflective has too many counters. Hardened has like, a one. Counter, and it's got a flaw because it slows you down and makes you a little bit more unbalanced.
Right.
But reflective has too many negatives
too
to
much
it.
Drawback.
I don't like it.
Okay.
Did anyone have any honorable mentions that didn't make the list? Yeah. Just a quick, you know?
Well, yeah, I had to switch it out. I originally had the Spider 9M in here, which is just a spider that does spider things.
I love
it's the best kind of spider.
I love the 9M. I mean, it's got the VSPs. Yeah. It jumps really far, so it can jump behind you and get that -3 to do 9 points of damage twice. It's great.
This just looks like out. A Venom to me.
Sure.
Does the Venom have VSPs?
No, but...
No, but oh, okay. it's a spider that... It's a spider with the lasers, the bigger lasers in the torsos instead of the center torso.
Yeah.
But I like the Venom as well, so...
Because it's an A12-8, so...
Yep.
It's almost doing the same thing. Yep. But I guess
That's it. It's an honorable mention because it's nothing new. I guess this, if the Annihilator hadn't brought a new doctrine to my table, it would have been the same thing. The Annihilator would have been an honorable mention. But I've run spiders that did spider things before, and this is just my favorite version of it. Cheap. 600 in change. Battle value. What a winner.
I guess the thing is, this is the upgrade for all the people running the 7K spider.
Yeah.
Which is just two medium pulses. Now you get two medium VSPs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're good.
Yeah.
Obviously, my honorable mention is a Shadowhawk because I didn't say Shadowhawk yet. And it's a medium that goes fast.
You're paid for every time you say Shadowhawk.
I get paid every time I say Shadowhawk. So, yep. That Shadowhawk 5S. Look it up in the rec guide. Yep. You'll say my name. Yep. Score.
And all those other mediums that you like, those other fast mediums. The Cricket, it just looks cool.
I know, it's another bug mech, and I did like that. I was looking at it. Yep. And it's faster than 6.9, so I was happy with that.
There you go.
I will do a bug company at some point, and it's going to be awesome.
Eventually.
There's no mini for it yet, so I'm not going to start.
Yeah, I'm waiting on the mini. Any honorable mentions for you, Josh? Or are you?
I got the Ryzen.
Okay.
The Ryzen 301B specifically. That one, it's an unseen that now has rec guide things, but the 301B has three ER mediums, an SRM6, an SRM2, and an Einarch with 3 tons of pods.
Of course, like the Einarch.
The Einarch's good. It's just, this is so much of a I can't kill things by myself unit.
No, yeah, yeah. It is definitely a support mech. Like, it is there to cause problems for the enemy and make things more like easier for its friends. But all by itself, no.
Yeah. Man. And I understand that. Like, I understand the purpose of it.
Yeah.
It's just hard for, you know, 1400 BV. Why the SRM-2 when I already have the SRM-6? I'm paying so much more for the ammo.
Yeah, it is one of those spec op. Yeah, I mean, like I said, sometimes they add flaws in. That would be a flaw to me. Like an SRM-2 on top of the SRM-6 for sure. But it is a special operations mech for sure. I love it.
Whoever wrote the record sheet for the Trebuchet 9M forgot to put the flaws in. They didn't get the memo on that one.
All right. Now, that's it for our honorable mentions. Now, we all had one mech that I feel like defines the rec guides as a whole.
1,000%. Yes.
So, the winner of the rec guide.
Out of our
when you put out this topic as an idea, I'm like, but we're all going to pick this. And you're like, let's all pick other ones. This will just be the undisputed winner. And I'm like, agreed.
So we just picked, you know, 3. So we have 9 on the BuzzFeed list of, you know, top 10 mechs of the rec guides. You know, this is That's number right. one.
It's this the is last number page. One.
You've had 20 right. ads. Your ad you block made is it. Given up. Which mech is it? It's the Hammerhead.
It's the Hammerhead.
Absolutely Hammerhead.
Yeah, but why is the Hammerhead the best mech right? in the rec guides?
Because it's not a perfect mech. By any means, it's not a perfect mech.
He's got character.
It's got, character. Got character. It's fun. It's you have to play the mech. You don't just park him somewhere. Yep. It has to be mobile. It has to do what it's meant to do, or else mm-hmm. it's just wasted. But it's so much fun doing it. It's just fun.
It's got a mini.
It does.
That helps.
It does help.
It can take an AC-20 to the face and still have mm-hmm. one internal structure left because of that yep. hardened armor.
Yep. It's got the AES.
It does.
In the legs.
In the legs to counteract the heavy armor, mm-hmm. the hardened armor.
I like that it doesn't have a million weapons.
In fact, it doesn't have any weapons in its arms so that it can use, you know, mm-hmm. can charge right up to you, fire everything, and punch you twice.
Catch these hands, boys.
I don't know why it would punch, because it has AES in its legs, so it gets a -3 to kick you. But it leaves
punch them. Punch you twice.
Yeah.
It can, it's true.
It yeah.
And I've killed mechs with those hammer hands. No, we already have
the hammer. We have a hammer hand.
We do have the hammer hands.
So yeah, the hammer heads. I mean, that's 2 punches. Yeah, it's not worried about getting kicked back. It's aiming for, you know, those headshots.
Yeah, it's fun. Every time I've taken it, and I've taken it quite a few times on the field. And it's just fun because the mini looks so good and it's so unique. And people who aren't familiar with it look at it and go, what is that running at me? And then they shoot it and I'm like, ha. And I only like mark off a little tiny bit of damage because of that hardened armor. And they're just like, oh no. And you see the fear. And it just, it's fun. It's just so much fun. It looks so good. I can't say enough nice things about it. Yeah, it's a little bit slow because of that hardened armor, because it goes 6'8". Mm-hmm. But it still goes 6'8". I mean, that's not bad.
That's as much as a king crab with a supercharger.
Yeah.
And it's a 45 tonner. We need more niche 40 and 45 tonners.
Again, it's a fun medium mech that the rec guide spit out. But it's the best of all of the fun medium mechs. It's just so cool.
Now, does the Hammerhead go in first or go in last?
Oh, I put mine out there first. I know it tends to die a little bit, but it absorbs so much damage and it lets the rest of my mechs get into position. It sets the pace of the entire battle if I send that in first.
Now love the Hammerhead.
Love Hammerhead.
I have 3 or 4 of them. I love them that much.
I mean, we all do. Because hardened armor is the best armor.
It's
it really cool. is.
Especially with AES.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like re-engineered lasers go through it like it's regular armor, but so few mechs have that. And those weapons are a little bit heavy. So that's just other weapons that they're not using. So it kind of balances out. Hardened armor is the best armor.
Cool. You're shooting me with, you know, the weapon designed to shoot me with. Oh, instead Yay. Of any of my other units that are also backing, coming right behind the juggernaut. I always think of the hammerhead as that one orc in Lord of the Rings with the, you know, the torch running towards the grate.
Oh, if I had a banner for my unit, I would absolutely put it on the back of the hammerhead. Yeah. Just marching in there with that banner.
I would like to also mention that the hammerhead mounts a Series 44H large pulse laser. So
you don't even need good gunnery for this because it's got That's a streak right. and a large pulse, which means gunnery's a dumb stat.
I love that the blurb says it's armed with medium to short range weapons, and I'm like, listen, guys,
the large pulse goes 20.
Clan large pulse laser is not a short range weapon.
It's not even a medium range weapon. It goes
it's a long range weapon.
It's like it goes as far as LRMs.
Yeah. So
I think we need to. I think if there's ever a rebalance, I think we can all agree. It's like, yeah, let's take 4 or 5 hexes off that weapon. Let's just get rid of the long bracket in general.
It's the clan large pulse. Too far out. Yeah. Too much reach.
Yes. So undisputedly, Hammerhead gets the King of the Wreck Guides.
It is the most fun one that I play out of the entire Wreck Guides. Yes.
And everyone has fun playing with it.
I haven't had a bad
people enjoy yet. Shooting it, and you enjoy doing
exactly
like half marks on the structure, half marks on the armor bubbles.
It rarely survives the battle. So it brings me joy to throw it out there. It brings them joy to take it down. It's a win-win.
Yeah.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
I would like to see more mechs like this in upcoming products.
More hardened armor?
No, more unusual designs that break out of the paradigms of our standard roles and things like that.
So kind of like the Contio that you chose, where it's like a super fast melee mech. Kind of
right, but it doesn't jump, which you know definitely sets it apart. And a clan mech that focuses on melee, definitely out of the box thinking there. That was my problem. Just like with all the light mechs that are slow, they do have a lot of medium mechs that jump like into the 7 to 9 range. Yes, they're good mechs. Yes, they do it well, but it's just like the annihilators who just sit back on the hill and fire their 4 Gauss rifles. You know, you've got medium mechs that jump 7 every turn. They just find two heavy wood hexes 7 apart, and they just jump back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's good for a win, but it becomes not so much fun to play for either side after, you know, 8 turns or so. Whereas the hammerhead's always fun. Like, it's just fun because you never get into that pattern of jump, 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 jump. You have to keep moving and you have to run or walk. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
All right. Anybody got anything else?
I'm tired.
No, I'm good for this one. It was a fun one. I think we needed this.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, Mech Warriors, and listening to our top 10 units from the Wreck Guides. Number 5 might shock you. Join us next time when we go to the Gladiator world of Solaris and bet it all on the Hover Blitz speed races.